by my heart. Let me be as gold and precious silver. Purify my heart. Let me be as gold, pure gold. Refiner's fire, my heart's one desire is to be holy, set apart for you, Lord. I choose to be holy, set apart for you, my Master, ready to do your will, ready to do your will.
Certainly you must know that that's where revival begins. That's where restoration, renewal, revolution begins in our own hearts. That the Lord has access to change us. Just the way, and of course the song talks about refiner's fire, and anybody who's worked in metallurgy knows that if you smelt gold ore or silver ore, you have to melt it down and get the impurities out of it. Well, certainly, without the Lord working in our lives, we would remain impure, and we would have no concept of holiness and no chance of holiness. Well, yours truly, the Patriot Pastor here, with lots of exciting things to share with you. I'm always excited to get on the air here and share with you different things that are happening. I hope you recognize that each week that I come to you, that I'm enthusiastic. Yes, there are many disappointing things that are happening, but I'm not disappointed. Many disillusioning things that are happening, but I'm not disillusioned. Many terrible things that are happening, but I have not given up hope. Why? Because each and every day I get up, I study Scripture, usually at about just about dawn, and in the winter months earlier than dawn, and then I pray, and the Lord encourages me. Did you get that message? For those of you that sleep in and then kind of rush around just to get it all together, why not try going before the Lord in His presence each morning, nice and early, before you start your day? And those of you that are working other shifts, make sure that you have time with the Lord too. Now, I have some very exciting things to share with you concerning where I was last week and what I was involved in. But before I do, let's have our history lesson, as we have each broadcast. Well, it was John Locke, who was a Puritan and certainly one of the great thinkers of the era of our founding in the War for American Independence. He said, "Any single man must judge for himself whether circumstances warrant obedience or resistance to the commands of the civil magistrate. We are all qualified, entitled, and morally obliged to evaluate the conduct of our rulers. This political judgment, moreover, is not simply or primarily a right, but like self-preservation, a duty to God. As such, it is a judgment that men cannot part with according to the God of nature. It is the first and foremost of our inalienable rights, without which we can preserve no other." And folks, if we were to say nothing more on this broadcast today, but just that particular historical quote from John Locke, we'd be saying a lot. Because the very issue today is that many people don't question anybody in authority. Whatever people in authority, yes, even the president, the governor, judges, whatever they do must be right. Well, that's not what America's about. It's certainly even not what the New Testament church is about. The Bible talks about paying respect for those in authority, but it doesn't say that we don't lovingly and respectfully ask questions of those in leadership, and when we don't, we have tyranny. Remember that the preamble of the U.S. Constitution, for example, says, "We the people." And then remember that John 8:32 says, "You shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Well, George Washington, in a letter to James Madison, that's President Number 1 to President Number 4, in November of 1785, said, "We are either a united people or we are not. If the former, let us, in all matters of general concern, act as a nation, which have national objects to promote and a national character to support. If we are not, let us no longer act a farce by pretending to it." And folks, I am sure that George Washington is appalled at what's happening today. If he were alive, I believe he'd say so. Well, let me say it for him, because I've read enough about what he has said and what he believes. And see, the issue here is, we have so much divisiveness in our country. You know, I stamp my outgoing mail. I try to use every possible way. If you've ever gotten a letter from me, you'll see that I put it in quotation marks, "always for Jesus," spelling always, A-L-L-W-A-Y-S. I like to use language as a way of getting a message across. And I say "always for Christ" or "always for Jesus," meaning every possible thing that you can do. And of course, so I stamp letters saying "one nation under God." It's not "one nation under Allah." It's not "one nation under Buddha," "one nation under the Bhagavad Gita," or "one nation under Krishna," or any of these others. It's "one nation under God, the God of the Bible, the God of the Old and New Testament, and yes, one nation under Christ." That's what our founding fathers believed. And so we're being very divided over many things that cannot help but to cause us a problem. So it's either time to be once again united, not through tyranny, but through mutual understanding, or to say, give it up. America is no longer America. We're not a United States of America. We're very divided. Well, John Adams, President Number 2, in his writings called The Thoughts on Government in 1776, he said, "A constitution founded on these principles introduces knowledge among the people and inspires them with a conscious dignity, becoming free men. A great emulation takes place, which causes good humor, social ability, good manners, and good morals to be general. That elevation of sentiment inspired by such a government makes the common people brave and enterprising. That ambition which is inspired by it makes them sober, industrious, and frugal." And folks, those things that our second president said is what has made America strong, as people have looked to Christ and His Word, the Bible, and lived biblically true Christian lives. They have been, our people have been, industrious, they've been brave, they've been enterprising, they've been sober, and they've been frugal. Those are the things that make for strength, not the weirdness that we see around us these days. Well, Thomas Jefferson wrote a letter to Elbridge Gerry. You may not recognize Elbridge Gerry, but he was a fundamental part of the crafting of the Constitution, particularly the First Amendment. He was from Massachusetts. And in the letter of 1801, Thomas Jefferson, President Number 3, said, "The steady character of our countrymen is a rock to which we may safely moor. And notwithstanding the efforts of the papers to disseminate early discontents, I expect that a just, compassionate, and steady conduct will at length rally to a proper system the great body of our country. Unequivocal in principle, reasonable in manner, we shall be able, I hope, to do a great deal of good to the cause of freedom and harmony." You noticed in a lot of the quotes here from the Founding Fathers, they talk about freedom, they talk about harmony, they talk about good national character. So today, when people say we should not try to legislate morality, the truth of the matter is that government is legislating morality. It just doesn't happen to be, in most cases, the morality of true Bible-believing, Christ-loving, Christ-following Christians. Well, John Adams, I mentioned him before, our second president, he said, "The moment the idea is admitted into a society that property is not as sacred as the laws of God, and that there is not a force of law and public justice to protect it, anarchy and tyranny commence. If thou shalt not covet, and thou shalt not steal, were not commandments of heaven, they must be made inviolable precepts in every society before it can be civilized or made free. And I think that we are losing our freedoms very rapidly in this country, and we are also becoming very uncivilized. We'll talk a little bit more about that later on in the broadcast. Are you teaching your children about the true history of this country? Well, I can tell you, if you have your children in the government school, folks, I'm not even going to comment on that, but they're not hearing it. They're not being taught true American history. They're certainly not being taught true history of the Christian church. We know that. That's your responsibility. Hey, I'm not trying to lay a guilt trip on you here or shame you into it. I'm just trying to say, my experience is that most children today don't know a thing about their country. And Noah Webster, who happened to have been one of the main proponents of public education in America in our founding, he said every child in America should be acquainted with his own country. He should read books that furnish him with ideas that will be useful to him in life and practice. As soon as he opens his lips, he should rehearse the history of his own country. Well, you can't rehearse the history of your country if you don't know. And our 22nd president, in his inaugural address of 1885, that was Grover Cleveland. I know you got these things memorized, don't you? And let us not trust to human effort alone, but humbly acknowledge the power and goodness of Almighty God, who presides over the destiny of nation, and who has at all times been revealed in our country's history. Let us invoke his aid and his blessings upon our labors. I know there is a supreme being who rules the affairs of men. And while we're at it, on May the 4th, that's the first Thursday of May, that is the National Day of Prayer Observance. We have gotten a proclamation from Governor Lynch. Praise the Lord for that. I'm sure that wasn't too easy for him to do. And we will have several observances. I'm sure that you're finding out about these, but I want to mention what I'm involved in. At 8 o'clock in the morning at the Holiday Inn in Concord, New Hampshire, the state capital, I will be one of the speakers along with Janet Folger, who's coming up from Washington. And we will have a prayer breakfast there. If you are interested in being part of that, if you will call me, I can work it out for you to actually be able to sit at the table with me. Join the Patriot Pastor in that. We will have some time of prayer after the breakfast, and then at noon, 12 o'clock, I will be blowing the shofar and also speaking along with some others on the state capitol steps. So if you'd like to be part of that, give me a call. We can work that out. And also from 7 to 9 on that night, I will be hosting a prayer time at the Greater Wakefield Resource Center, which is in Union, and it's on the Main Street. And of course, if you're not able to join me, there are some other observances that you can find out about on that day. And if you're not able to attend any of those, then stop during the day and take time to pray on any of those. And on the many different things that are happening in our country. And by the way, if you need some suggestion on what to pray about, I can certainly fax you, email you, or send you something that we're using. What a glorious morning this is. Samuel Adams said to John Hancock at the Battle of Lexington on April 19th, 1775. We're going to be talking a little bit more about that and some places that I went just recently last week. For Patriots Day, but before I do, I got a couple other things to mention to you. Like, I received an email from Gary Bauer, who is the president of Campaign for Working Families. He's been a presidential candidate, and this is what he said. This would be a better country if all our pastors shared your conviction. I was just totally taken back by that. I'm going to frame that I don't know how many of you might agree with that, but I certainly am blessed to read that. And I want to read a quote from Star Parker. Now, Star Parker is a contemporary. She grew up in the projects of Chicago, and she has some interesting perspective that I really appreciate. She said, "Those who want to hoist the banner of the Statue of Liberty, Ellis Island, and the American tradition of immigration should remember that when immigrants were passing through Ellis Island at the early part of the last century, the federal government accounted for about 3% of the American economy. Today it's 25%. Part of the package deal that comes with showing up in the United States today is our welfare state as well as our free economy. Yes, let's encourage freedom, but freedom is a privilege and a responsibility. We have enough people already here who think it's all about entitlement." Well, that is so true, and it brings up a number of issues. But let me just sandwich this in. A scripture a day keeps the devil away. Remember that. Did you know that there are people out there, for example, the Kentucky Board of Education, that wants to redefine how America dates time? If you've ever gotten a letter from me, or when I actually send out a check or something like that, I put on the date and I put AD. You know what that means? It means Anno Domini, which is Latin for in the year of our Lord. And by the way, it's engraved on buildings at our state capitol, engraved in buildings in Washington. It is important. And of course, BC means before Christ. Well, there are people out there that want to change to before Common Era and CE, Common Era. Folks, do you realize what's going on out there, what that's going to mean by changing that? Once again, it's just another way of trying to eliminate the recognition of who God is from our country. I want to mention a couple things that are going through the State House right now. In fact, I spoke at a rally on this past Saturday in Concord in favor of what is called HB 1582, which would keep New Hampshire out of the Real ID Act. This Real ID Act, and I hope you'll look this up, HB 1582, will cost a lot of money for New Hampshire. Cost your driver's license will cost so much. It'll probably have to have some kind of a radio frequency identification chip put in your license, or some kind of eye scan, or some kind of fingerprint, or whatever. These are things that are unconstitutional, they're unbiblical, they're expensive, and we certainly don't want them. Also want to mention to you SB 318, which is the Personal Protection Act, because in case you didn't know it, and if you would like to join me any second and fourth Wednesday, I'm up at the state capitol praying in the gallery with the legislators. Here's some of the things that go on in our state legislature. It'll be shocking to you. For example, in New Hampshire, you do not have the right to protect yourself in public. If you're in a public place and some criminal attacks you, you're not supposed to protect yourself. Well, that's not biblical, and that's not constitutional either. And then, as we watched in Hurricane Katrina, police and the National Guard confiscated firearms from citizens that owned them legally who were not committing any crimes. That is unconstitutional. That's against the Second Amendment. That's also unbiblical. Well, SB 348 makes it clear that the state may not take possession of firearms, ammunition, and ammunition components in a declared state of emergency. These things are important, and I hope you will weigh in on them. Well, did you read, or have you seen, what came across my computer? Pay your taxes. We've just passed April 15th, tax day, and isn't it interesting that April 15th is so close to Patriots Day, April 19th. I wonder if that was a coincidence. It says, pay your taxes. 12 million illegal aliens are depending on you. That's probably an underestimate, because I've been told that actually 3,200 illegals a day are entering into America. Well, here's what Augustin Sabata, he's a Brown Beret protester demanding amnesty for illegal aliens. He said, go back to Plymouth Rock, pilgrims. Get out. We are the future. You are old and tired. Leave like beaten rats, you old white people. It is your duty to die. We're going to take over. Folks, you know, when we talk about illegal immigration or foreign invasion, we're not talking about racism here. There are patriotic American New Testament Christians throughout our country of all different races. But to be a citizen of the United States, especially if you have immigrated here and you've done so legally, you have to renounce. It's in the constitutional oath of citizenship. You renounce all other countries. Vincenzi Fox, the Prime Minister of Mexico, said, I have 150 million people under me. 125 million live in Mexico, and I get 25 million Mexicans in America. This is not going to be the United States of America much longer under that. This is not what our founding fathers wanted. This isn't going to, we can't say one nation under God. And while you're also on the subject concerning, for example, Islam, the FBI arrested two Georgia Tech students that had traveled to Canada to strategic, they were meeting to plan a terrorist strike against strategic locations. Now, they were Islamic people. They were both U.S. citizens who grew up in the Atlanta, Georgia area. Can you imagine that? And this is what they wanted to do. They wanted to have bomb strikes against oil refineries and military bases. But I thought Islam was a religion of peace. Not. And you probably wonder why I'm such a proponent of freedom of Christianity in America. Well, first of all, that's in our founding. But also for another reason, it's because I believe the only hope for truth is not through politics, and you know that I believe in Christians being involved in every walk of life. It's because there's only one authority on earth that has greater authority than the authority of civil government, and that's the true Church of Jesus Christ, and it should not be muzzled. Well, Howard Dean says the tax-exempt status exempts Christian groups from speaking out. The chairman of the Democratic National Committee said he thinks churches should either pay taxes or be silent when it comes to speaking out about political issues. Well, I can tell you historically, and we're talking about the founding of America, whatever did really happen on April 19, 1775? Do you know that the Patriot pastor Jonas Clark actually came out on the village green before the battle and said to the men, all of whom were members of his church, the Captain Parker, who died there, was actually a deacon in the local church. He said, quit ye like men. See, in those days, there were pastors who believed in speaking out against tyranny. And I believe we need those pastors today. You know, when they said, don't fire unless fired upon, but if they want a war, let it begin here. That was Captain John Parker I just mentioned. Or how about the sun never shined on a cause of greater worth by Thomas Paine? We know that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong. Do you not think an angel rides in the whirlwind and directs this storm? That was John Page. Our cause is noble. It's the cause of mankind. George Washington. The revolution was effected before the war commenced. The revolution was in the minds and hearts of the people, a change in their religious sentiments of their duties and obligation. This radical change in the principles, opinions, sentiments, and affections of the people was the real American Revolution. Folks, we are fast approaching becoming illegal residents of America, because if you really believe in Christ and you follow him and believe his word, there are people that don't think we belong here. I just quoted somebody who wants to come in illegally and take over the country. Well, we can't let that happen, can we? And there's something that you can do about it. Last week, I traveled to Danbury, Connecticut. I ministered there 3 days and was part of a solemn assembly and several prayer meetings on the site of the Danbury Baptist Church. You may not know this, but the Danbury Baptist Association wrote a letter to President Thomas Jefferson. And in the letter that Thomas Jefferson wrote back, he wrote, there needs to be a wall of separation. Well, what he meant was that as president and under the Constitution, he wasn't able to help any church, any Christian church, become a national church or to organize themselves in a way that they should have any more prominence than any other Christian church. That's the truth of the First Amendment, the freedom of religion. But in 1947, Supreme Court Justice Hugo Black, who was upset about something, took that letter and used it in a way it wasn't supposed to. And ever since then, the church in America, the Church of Jesus Christ, has been muzzled one way or the other, through business incorporation, through tax exemption, through a variety of different means. Folks, don't say it's not so. I know it's so. I've been out there for over 30 years, and I can tell you that I hear people saying these things all the time. We can't say that. We can't do that. And I've just quoted from Howard Dean, who's the chairman of the Democratic National Party, that says churches shouldn't be able to say anything. Well, folks, even if it were so that it's not for us to say, and I'm saying if it were illegal for us to say, we'd have to say what Acts 5:29 says, we ought to obey God rather than man. Well, let's read some scripture from 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and I hope it's an encouragement to you. Reading from the King James, it says, but I say that these things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God. And I would not that ye should have fellowship with devils. Ye cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. Ye cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the table of devils. Do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than he? All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. Let no man seek his own, but every man another's wealth. Whatever is sold in the shambles, eat that, asking no question for conscience sake. For the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And I want to just add in there, America is the Lord's and the fullness thereof too. If any of them that believe not bid you to a feast, and ye be disposed to go, whatsoever is set before you, eat, asking no question for conscience sake. But if any man say unto you, this is offered in sacrifice unto idols, eat not for this, for his sake that showed it, and for conscience sake, for the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Conscience, I say, not thine own, but of the other, for why is my liberty judged of another man's conscience? For if I by grace be a partaker, why am I evil spoken of? For that which I give thanks. Whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatever ye do, do all to the glory of God. Let me read that one again. Whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatever ye do, do all to the glory of God. And that is the exhortation I want to give you today. I want to remind you that there is something you can do. Don't say there isn't. You pray and ask the Lord how you can affect life around. If everyone who calls upon the name of Christ today would just do something, would pray and take action, we would see our country change for the better. I don't want to think that I can no longer live in this country and be free to worship Christ in spirit and in truth. Well, I'd like to thank our sponsors, ABBA Medical at 91 Portsmouth Avenue in Exeter, 24-hour service and free delivery, 1-800-718-2173. Stop by and see them, all your medical supply needs, and Simmons Law Office, General Practice of Law, 886 Lafayette Road in Hampton, 929-9100. And you know what I'm going to say. Before I say it, if you need to reach us by phone, 603-522-9115, or go to our website, thewelloflivingwater.com. And Jesus is the only way, the only truth, the only life. Serve only Jesus.